Father, as you prepare to use me, Lord God, to bring forth this message, Lord God, take and use me, Lord God. Clear my mind and unclutter it, Lord God, that you can get through it. Take my heart, Lord God, like you did to disciples, Lord God, that I can say, hear my Lord God, I follow you to do your will. Here in this service, Lord God, use me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good morning, church. The Lord put on my heart to talk about the good life. And I'm going to use as a scripture Luke the 5th chapter, verses 27 to 31, which reads as follows.
Blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places.
Okay, our scripture is going to be Luke 5, 27, 32, which reads as follows. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow him. So he immediately left all, rose up and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And there scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The good life. The good life. You know, that means, that phrase probably rings deep within us, because we've been taught that, especially in this country, that we're entitled to the good life. In fact, as many of you were, I was brought up being taught that we're to pursue and live the good life. To pursue and live the American dream. Those are things that were just so ingrained to me from school on, and my parents and everything, and the news media and everything. Those were things when I grew up, I learned, like I say, influenced by my parents, what that meant, what the American dream meant. I mean, what is that really all about? What is a good life? And then also, I was a Christian, and I also was influenced by my Christian beliefs. And also, you know, when I was growing up at that time, I had some peers and my classmates and stuff, and we each sort of had our own idea of what that good dream or American life was. I was thinking one thing, and a lot of my peers were thinking, oh, if I can just get that special lady or that special man, and we get together and we get married and have fun and all that stuff. That was the American dream to them. A lot of them just thought, you know, being able to dress up a certain way and looking cool, that was the American dream. And the news media had a great deal to do with how we saw the American dream, because one of the things that I had to overcome was understanding that the American dream, I couldn't fully participate in because of the color of my skin. So my aspiration about the American dream of good life were somewhat limited. But nonetheless, I had an aspiration for succeeding and have part of good life in the American dream, even though there were limitations. You know, the question becomes today is, what is the good life? What is the American dream today? grew up, I began to develop a list for success, a list for the good life. And for me, when I finally arrived and I understand what the American dream was, a good life, I was first taught that education played a good part in it, a very primary part in that, because the more education you had, the greater the doors open, the more opportunities you're going to have. When opportunity became, the more opportunities for having a good life, the more likely I was going to have success. And not only get an education, but what kind of job you're going to have. And I decided that I wanted to be a doctor because that was one of the best paying jobs. It was very prestigious, and it was something I wanted to strive for, to be looked upon and saying, there's Dr. Young. And certainly I had aspirations to get married and have a house and a family. And one of the things you looked at is I was very aware of the need to have economic security for myself and my family, and to plan on retiring and to be well off. It was the American dream that you retired and you had this and accumulated this wealth, and so you could take care of yourself and be well off when you retire. That was my to-do list. That was my success list for the good life. And unfortunately, I think that the American dream of good life has somewhat been distorted now. I think it's been changed, because the news media today says that the good life or the American dream is perhaps not based upon what I grew up on. They say the American dream is to get on TV and have that Facebook, that 5 minutes of fame, and to collect as much money, to become an entrepreneur, to do all these things that are very self-centered. Well, when I was growing up, I wanted to be a doctor because I wanted to help people. Yeah, it was a good job, you know, but also it was I felt the need that part of my American dream was, what can I do to help people? And I guess that was because I had my Christian belief, and part of my Christian belief says, God expects us to help others. God expects us to live a life that we don't think primarily of ourselves. We look back and say, who's my that widow or that fatherless child, and how can I do to help them? And what am I going to do to be of a good service, you know, to let God use my life and not me just be so selfish? And that was because I was inspired by the Word of God. Word of God inspires us to have a different perspective on the good life. It requires that we're no longer looking out for self, but we're doing God's will. And that's when I want to take a look at the successful good life in 2021 based upon Matthew the tax collector. We find that in Luke 5:27-32, Matthew the tax collector. And we find that Matthew the tax collector, he had a good job. That means he was used by Rome to go and cut taxes, and he got to add his commission on top of the taxes that Rome was owed. He got, I think, got to set his own commission, and so he would say, "Well, good," and he would get his off the top. And so he was guaranteed his money, because you had to pay your taxes to Rome. So if you were paying your taxes, he was guaranteed a nice income. And because he was diligent, hard working, because, you know, he got himself there, and on a Rome says, I want my money, and so he couldn't strike on that. He had to be very diligent, very hard working, to find out who would pay taxes, if they paid the right amount, keep track of the books and everything, at the end of that period, whenever the pastor did, he had a account for that and go through and give out, you know, keep that ledger and everything and give that to them. So, and so, and like I say, in order to do that, he had to be busy. I mean, it wasn't no slacker. That wasn't a job for a slacker. He had to be a very hard-working, busy man. I mean, collecting taxes. I mean, I think, you know, when people came and there was taxes on when you came in, you know, and sold goods and sold things, there was just taxes being paid. And that was his job. His job was collecting taxes. His job was to put them up in store. His job was to keep them safe until the Roman soldiers came and took it away. So he was a busy. That was a busy job. But it was a very prestigious job. It was a very good job. Not everybody got a chance to do that. And one of the reasons was it was a job where his people didn't like him. He decided he would take a job because it would provide a good life, even though he didn't get the prestige. In fact, he was one of the ones that his own people didn't like. Because first of all, he collected money, collected taxes, and he lived a good life. And so, therefore, he was not liked by his own people, but he didn't care because he said, this is a good life for me, that's enough. Well, if living that good life, the problem was, it says, Jesus shows up at his job. He's sitting there at the table collecting taxes. And all Jesus shows up and just says, follow me. There's a show of love and says, follow me. And his spirit is stripped to the point where he just immediately gets up. He immediately gets up. Leave all that he worked to accomplish. Leave all that he's been about. Rises up and follows Jesus. His idea of the good life has dramatically changed. And because of that, he's able to, like say, give up that good job, that livelihood. It's like, boom, it's a radical, it's a very radical change. And not only that, it says he owns a house. He owns a house, you know, work very hard to, like say, the good life. And here in America, isn't that one of the things we have established as good life, to own our own house, to own that house and all the stuff we're doing? And he's very well off economically. You know, he's been a very good store with money and stuff. And so he's very well off. Got a house, and you know, I mean, he's just in a very good position. But you see, when Jesus gets a hold of him, he no longer is focused on a good life. He's no longer focused on a material thing like his house, like so he had given up the job. And Jesus called him and say, follow me, and that means he's got to leave everything he has. It doesn't say, it doesn't say that he says, well, I've got to go and find out who's going to take care of this and put it in a trust fund and none of that. It just says he gets up and follows Jesus. Give that good life he's been planning on and retiring, and suddenly it's got to follow Jesus. And you see, one of the things about this is also that he's been living this very comfortable lifestyle. And if you know anything about Jesus' lifestyle, it's going to be anything but a comfortable lifestyle. Because Jesus says, I don't even have a place to lay my head. Living as a person who's living off the what others give me. I can't guarantee you no security. All you know is I'm going to teach you how to follow God. I'm going to teach you how to walk in faith. So that's the interesting thing. He's given up the good job to come and live and walk a life of faith. And see, sometimes that's what we don't understand about becoming a Christian is, it's saying I'm giving up that good dream, that American life, and the good dream, and come follow God. I know many of you do, because some of you have experienced it. I know a lot of us have experienced when God calls upon our life, and a lot of times we fight it because we know that that's when the things going to happen. It's going to change us. We're going to change the way we have to live. We're going to make some changes, and we don't want to do that. But he says, man, to no longer live that good, comfortable life is something that Levi didn't even think twice about. When Jesus says, come follow, he immediately comes and follows. And the nice thing about it is, when he leaves and joins Jesus, he throws a farewell feast to his friends. He let them know that he's leaving. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm inviting you. I'm going to invite Jesus as a guest of mine, so y'all get to meet the man who made me change my life. But, you know, that's one of the things when you have a radical change like that, and everybody knows you, and you suddenly going to change, that's something people want to know. What is it that, what happened that caused them to change? And that's the thing that, as Christians, we have to be willing to be step up the plate for and realize that Jesus is nothing to play with. Coming to Christians is nothing to play with. It causes us to have a radical shift in our life, a radical shift in the way we think, a radical shift in how we live and operate and what we do. And it requires us to be like Matthew, not ashamed to be seen with other Christians, not ashamed to let people know I'm a follower of Jesus. That's what it means to no longer have the good life. When you start doing that, the good life is no longer yours. Because the world belongs to Satan. And Satan's going to be out to attack you. You become an enemy of Satan. You become on Satan's hit list. And he invites tax collectors and others to sit down with him. And like I said, when he does that, the devil shows up. The scribes and Pharisees show up, and they do exactly what I can tell you what's going to happen. They immediately start attacking the situation. They start attacking the disciples about why Jesus is eating with Matthew and a tax collector. But you see, it didn't matter to him now. Because he had an encounter with Jesus that so radically changed his life. And I don't know about you, I remember when that happened to me. It was so radical. It's like something light changes on, and you're right. My mind shifted. My thoughts and desires. I no longer wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to find out what God wanted for my life, and that's what I'm still doing. Is what does God want for me? And so I want to give that. And one of the things I realized, like Matthew realizes, is that the good life on this earth ain't really is that good life that you think it is. You're going to get a better life on the other side. And one of the things I find about the good life here, if you walk in faith and not by faith, you have a much, much, much better life on this side of life, you know, before you die. But even more so, we've got the promise, and he had the promise of eternal life. So you see, we've been taught, I know it's very difficult, because it was very difficult challenge for me, because it's so ingrained in us. In fact, one of the things I realize is that we have got it so well ingrained that it's circulated throughout the world that live the good life here in America. People wonder why people are coming here, why people trying to immigrate here, why people illegally trying to go, because we told them this is where the good life is. We've told them this was land opportunity, and they're willing to come here and do whatever it takes to get here, because they have told, we've told them this is where the good life is. So, people, the question comes down to you is this. Have you made up your mind to give up this good life and come really follow Jesus? Have you really, really decided that this good life, living the American dream, is the lie that Satan has put out there, and he's put it out there to trick us into not following God? I hope you have become aware of it. I hope that, because when I see the church nowadays, unfortunately, I see even the church having got caught up in trying to bring in the American dream along with the Christian message. They can't be the same. I mean, the church is preaching a message of going out there and saving lives and getting people to come along and follow God. Not about following the almighty dollar. So in conclusion, I hope all of you will have to go out and proclaim that the good life is not the real good life that America's been perpetrating. The good life